being that it is that time of year where a lot of people, unfortunately, freak out and, you know, they rush to get the last presents, you know, then they send cards to people who they didn't want to send cards to originally, but because they got a card, they feel obligated, they have to send a card. None of you have ever done that. Then you lose the address and there's a whole thing. And then, you know, gifts, forget it. And it's a time where people are in a hurry to go nowhere, really. And it's restless. It gets real restless and things like that. And we all know it. And it's not just that way this year. It's usually that way every year. And it's a challenge sometimes for believers not to get caught up in that hustle and bustle and all that, you know. Good gravy. Well, you should have some good gravy. It'd be good. But I thought I'd share a little on peace again. Because the world sure is restless. And it seems the last several weeks, the adversary has stirred up a lot of things. And it takes sometimes, well, you can go to Isaiah 26. That's where we'll start. Sometimes it takes a real staid mind to bring into fruition that which God has given us so freely. You ever get a phone call that's nerve-wracking, or you get some news that isn't so pleasant? You know, it's called life, living in this world. A lot of surprises happen that we're not expecting, and some of them aren't very pleasant at all. And then we as individuals have to learn how to deal with that in our own minds, in our own brains. There's been plenty of people throughout the years who have promoted peace. There's been people who have given their lives with the idea of peace. It's been a passion for mankind for so many, many years, peace. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area during the 60s and early 70s, and there was a huge promotion for peace. People came from all over the country, young people, to promote peace and love. And certainly those things are very honorable, but because there was no foundation behind it, it fell apart rather rapidly. But it is still a good idea. It's something that God is a God of peace, wants us to be able to manifest it. He's given it to us. And so many of the movements in the past have opposed wars, have opposed political oppression and things like that. Some have opposed the firing of a Duck Dynasty person. Isn't that horrible? Good gravy. In the United States of America, you can't say what you feel and get fired for it. I hate that. That's baloney. Anyway, some people oppose political oppression, and they give their life as a goal to do that. As believers, we promote God. We promote His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we don't go on trips of just second-rate causes or anything. We go for God. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It's a very famous verse to many of us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's God's promise. God will keep you and me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's like a deal. God will keep us in perfect peace. Whoever it is whose minds are stayed on him, because they trust in him. A stayed mind is a fixed mind. It's a mind that isn't distracted. It's a mind that isn't interfered with. It is a mind that is stayed. It's focused. It's stuck. God promises peace to those who stay their minds on him. Our job is to stay our minds on him. Sometimes people have a very difficult time staying their minds because of one reason or another. We live in a world that is very fast. It promotes speed. Everything's got to be fast. The computer's got to be faster, you know. Instant access to information all over the world, you know, this, that, the other thing. And we have to really pay attention to our brains. You know, in 10 years, I don't know if people are going to be able to know how to add, to subtract, to divide, or to multiply. They'll just go to a computer. They won't even know. Or how about writing, cursive writing? When's the last time some of you young people have written a letter and addressed it and put the stamp where it's supposed to go and put a return address? Our culture's getting us to not think, to not control our minds. I'm the one who controls my mind. And sometimes I don't control it very well. And in those times that I don't control it very well, I have the freedom of will to bring my mind back to what God's word says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. God promises to keep the peace as we stay our minds on him. And if God promises something, he will do it. Who remembers what Numbers 23:19 says? Anybody remember that verse? Well, stand up so people can hear you.
God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not?
Do it.
Do it. Hath he? Shall he not?
Hath he not spoken?
And shall he not make it good?
Right. God, thank you. God is not a man that he should what? God is, he's not capable of lying. How about that? As honest as all of us think we are, the Bible says all men are liars, so somebody's wrong, and it's not God. So he is going to do what he says he's going to do, and the things that he says he's going to do are good. And in this case, talking about peace, he says he'll keep us not just in peace, but perfect what? Man, oh man. Go to Colossians chapter 3. My exhortation to all of us during this time. You know what's cool? Today, just today, probably 20 of us or so got to hear manifestations three times already. And the day's not over. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? Great, I'm glad you were there. Verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be what? Yeah. We're the ones who let this peace of God rule in our hearts. That's quite a privilege, and it's also quite a responsibility. You know, you might say to somebody that you're counseling, stay peaceful. And they might say to you, well, you don't know what I've been going through. Well, maybe I do not know what you're going through. Yet, staying peaceful is good advice because it's God's advice. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You let it. I let it. You can't make me let the peace of God rule in my heart, and I can't make you let the peace of God rule in yours. We, by the freedom of our own will, let the peace of God rule, reign supreme in our hearts, to the which also we're called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's my responsibility as a believer. It's your responsibility as well. This verse is not a question. It's a command. There is no question mark in this. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. So is it God's will for us to be peaceful? Is it? Yes. Who's Colossians written to? The believers, you and me. So we can let, and sometimes it takes a little while. I understand that. I understand that. I get it. But we ought to make something like this a priority in our life, something so important. Because peace means to rest. To rest. In contrast to strife. It's the absence and the end of all strife. It's the absence, you know. If we were to go on a hunt today to look for Jesse Carr in this building, we wouldn't find him because he's absent. It's the absence of all strife, and it's the end of it. It's undisturbed, untroubled well-being. It's undisturbed. It's untroubled. You know, I think of water, you know, like the ocean and stuff. When it's disturbed, when it's troubled, it gets, you know, tempestuous winds come and the big waves and stuff like that. But this is just a settled, undisturbed, untroubled. And it's peace being the result of forgiveness enjoyed. You ever just enjoy knowing that you've been forgiven? You take a deep breath and there's no condemnation. None. None. You got nothing on your mind that you did. You're just blessed. It's over with. We should never let a misspent past dictate how we're going to act in the future. It's over with. So it's, in essence, the result of forgiveness enjoyed. We just are peaceful, and it's free from all anxiety and care. John chapter 14. John 14. And if there's anything I could just exhort this day, is just enjoy the peace that God has given you. Enjoy it. And peace is an enjoyable thing. It's just peace. No strife, none of that. Verse 27, Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you." Well, what a wonderful thing to leave. Peace I leave with you. Can you imagine? You realize that we can do the same for one another at times? We can leave our peace with people? Jesus Christ said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Not only did he leave it, he gave it. This undisturbed, untroubled, this absence of all strife, this forgiveness enjoyed. Jesus Christ left it for us, and he gave it to us. Not as the world giveth. So there is a type of peace in the world that the world gives. But it's different than the peace that the world gives, because he said, "Not as the world giveth." And this is on the heels of him saying, "My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth." So it's not the same thing. "Give I unto you." He says it again. Give, give. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." A peaceful heart is not troubled. A peaceful heart is not afraid. You can't be afraid and be peaceful at the same time. You're either peaceful or you're afraid or something. There's no in-between deal there. Jesus Christ left the peace that the world didn't give. Acts 10. I had to make a decision there on whether to be peaceful or to respond to the cell phone. I won that battle. Acts 10. This is peaceful Jerry today. Hopefully I can be that way tomorrow. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Isn't that great? So no matter what we look like, no matter what kind of background we came from, no matter what we've done that's bad or good, you know, I hate Santa Claus. That's just, the guy is devilish. You know, you don't get stuff because you're good or bad. I'll stay peaceful. "God's no respecter of persons, But in every nation, he that feareth him worketh righteousness, is accepted up with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. Jesus Christ preached peace. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Something else. He came and he preached peace. Jesus Christ left a peace that the world never gave, and he preached peace. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. And you see this consistently all through the scriptures in the New Testament. You know, you remember how we got the word, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, that all scripture is given by inspiration. All of the scripture came from God. To holy men who wrote down what God told them to write down. So nowhere in the Gospels, nowhere in the Old Testament, do these books like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the way through, nowhere in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, does any of the books begin the way they begin in the church epistles. And in all the church epistles, they pretty much begin the same way. And that is because God wanted Paul to write that down every time. He didn't say, this is how you open. No. Each time. And Romans 1 verse 7, 1:7. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. That's not what I want, is it? What happened? Well, I want 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. There you go. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So God wanted Paul to write this down, to open Romans, and he wrote it down. Grace and peace, this wonderful peace. Look at chapter 4 of Romans, verse 25, and chapter 5, verse 1. And this is referring to Jesus Christ again, who was delivered for our offenses, Jesus Christ was, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace. We're justified by believing. We're justified by believing in Romans 10:9. We got born of God's Spirit. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We took him as our Lord and Savior. At that very moment, whenever that was or whenever that will be, at that moment, we're justified. At that moment, we have peace. At that moment. That is when everything God has made available is available. It's at that moment where everything is in place for a believer to walk by all 9 manifestations, walk by the word, believe who they are in Christ. At that very moment. We, being justified by believing, we have faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Gee whiz, you know, you get upset at your buddies. You know, sometimes you have a squabble. You have a difference of opinion. You have an argument. You have something that causes you or them or both of you great frustration. Here it says we have peace with God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. The one that's perfect, the one that isn't capable of lying, the one that everything he says he will do and that which he says is good. We have peace with God. I say we claim it by staying our minds on him. It's just one of those things, boy, that we really, in this world, the way it is, you know, all the prognosticators, say about money, and you all listen to the prognosticators, and then in 3 years you realize they're wrong, you know, and then you get upset at the prognosticators. You know, trust God. How about that? Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. Look, we have peace with God. Get over it. And if I can have peace with God, then to have peace with anybody else, it should be very, very simple for the most part. Yep. So chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8 of Romans. It says in verse 6, knowing, that's not right. Oh, that's 6. 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded, to go by our senses, to look by our senses is death or death in part. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So let's weigh this. Death over here, life and peace. Do you want death? I don't. Death isn't a friend, it's an enemy. I want life and I want peace. And I have life and I have peace. So all I need to do is claim it, believe it, to stay my mind on God, and I get to manifest this in my own life. And I was raised, you know, to be a very hyper person. It's in my genetics. It's in my genetics. But believing supersedes genetics. We all have pasts. And, you know, if you go far enough back, they're not really too good, you know. Do you know what I mean? I'm not criticizing your family, you know. I'm sure they were much better than mine. But mine, you know, had a tendency to be pretty hyper and kind of nutty sometimes. So I had to deal with that when I got in the Word, and I still have to deal with it occasionally today. Some of the things in my life that aren't as strong as many of the things in your life. And so that's okay. That's okay. We've got a family that can help me with that. We've got a God that I know will help me with that. I learn what the Word of God says concerning those areas of my life, and I do my best to believe those things, like peace. That's why it's one of my favorite subjects in the Word, perhaps because I need it so bad, because my tendency and my old man nature and things like that, I wasn't really raised to be that peaceful. I was raised to, you know, always be intense about everything. And there's a difference between being intense about everything and breaking fellowship, being intense with everything. It's okay to be into what you're doing. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 15. These verses, you know, you all know them for the most part. That's good. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we can hear something, the better off it'll do us in our lives and in our believing efforts to see the Word of God come to pass in our lives. Verse 13 says, now the God of hope, this is one of the all-time greats. Boy, he's a God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Man, what a verse. Our God is a God of peace. Look at verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. He's a God of hope, it says in Romans. He's a God of peace. And he fills us with all joy and peace in believing. Man, that we can abound in hope. He's coming back. There'll be a day when it's going to be gentle and happy the rest of our lives. You know, would you be happy for the rest of your life? Yeah, we will. No more tear, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more aches, no more agita, no free pizza. 1 Corinthians 3, or chapter 1, rather. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, God told Paul to write this down in Corinthians, grace and peace, be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So where does this grace and peace come from? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. Jesus Christ is referred to as the Prince of Peace. 2 Corinthians 1:2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. At times I've asked myself the question, well, I haven't really. It's a sarcastic question. Is God mentally deranged that he needs to repeat himself? Well, then who do you think may have the problem? I think he wants to hear us to hear that over and over and over again, because sometimes we don't quite get it. So he reminds us in every doggone epistle, grace and peace. I don't have to do a doggone bit of anything. It's grace and it's peace. It's mine. I don't have to remember five verses. I don't have to help old people across the street. Of course, now I'm an old person. I don't have to help myself across the street. I sometimes need help crossing the street. I don't have to do, it's not by works of righteousness, remember that song? But by his grace alone. Yeah, it's kind of nice. Galatians. What is that in French, Eric? Galatians. Thank you, Eric. Eric is an underrated ball player. Boy, he is so valuable. Right, Eric? Yep. Verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, grace and peace. God wanted it written down, so he had Paul write it down. Look at chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and that really is the totality of the Spirit. That's everything that comes with the giving of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And when they see you, when they see me, they meaning people, they meaning the world, they ought to see the embodiment of this. When they see us, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that what we put off? Joy. Are you happy about life? And peace. When people walk in your home, do they feel the uptightness of the house? I feel that way many times. You can tell it's cold. You can tell there's strife in it. And it may be the most beautifully decorated home in the whole world, because everything gives off something. Everything gives off something. If you're walking in love, you're going to give love. If you're walking with a happy heart, you're going to give joy. If you're walking with a peaceful heart, you're going to be giving off peace. People will look at you and go, boy, they'll know it's there. Long suffering. It means you're able to endure things for a while, Gentleness. Goodness, faith, or believing, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What a wonderful thing in God's word that can be a fruit of our lives. That's what God wants us to manifest. That's what he wants people to see. That's what he wants us to see. That's what he wants us to give off, because he's given us all these things so freely. And part of this wonderful fruit of the Spirit is peace. That undisturbed believing, that forgiveness and joy, that absence of all strife, no trouble, no distress. Ephesians 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, once again. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, well, my Ephesians is falling apart. For he is our peace, and this is referring to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Because of Jesus Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension, he made it available for Jews and Gentiles to be fellow heirs and of the same body. That took quite an accomplishment. And so making peace. And God only divides people in three categories. In Corinthians, it's Jews, Gentile, or the church, right? Isn't that right? Is it 1 Corinthians 10:32, is it? And so, really, if you get right down to it, it's believer or unbeliever, right? It really is. And that's the only two cultures there really are. Yet the world will promulgate all these other cultures. The world will try to do anything it can to divide. Black, white, Mexican, Spanish, Chinese, you know, whatever. It's, you know, in race they do it. The world does it. In, you know, short, fat, tinny, skinny, skinny, tall, you know, zit-ridden, big boobs, big butt, skinny butt, you know, smelly butt. You know, anything to divide, just, you know, divide. The adversary loves to divide, yet God made it so simple. You know, even with Christians, there is so many divisions, but there really aren't. We're all ended up, gonna end up at the gathering, all, even the worst of us. We're going to the gathering, see you there. He's not going to have a line. This is the Methodist. This is the Baptist. Harbor Light wouldn't even have a line, you know. Right? It's silly. But the adversary sure goes for that, and people buy into it. Verse 17, and came and preached peace unto you, which were afar off, which were the Gentiles, and to them that were near, the Jews. Peace. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith. And where does this peace come from? Where does this love with believing come from? It comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where it emanates from. It doesn't emanate from a denomination. It doesn't emanate from your way of thinking, my way of thinking. Our way of thinking doesn't matter. What God's word says is what is true. Okay? He said he gave it to us. We can either accept it or not accept it. You can't convince me otherwise. I'm too old and stubborn. I've been in the word too long. I'm not going anywhere. I may not always manifest it, and I might not even by my actions act like I believe it. But dang it, I ain't going anywhere. I do. Give me a minute. I'll get it together, for crying out loud. Give me a break. I'll get it back together. You ever blow it and somebody goes, renew your mind. And I'm docked. Renew your mind. To what? Philippians 1, verse 2. Grace be to unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again, boy. And in chapter 4 of Philippians, it's like all these church epistles open in a very similar way. And then somewhere throughout that church epistle, there's always something else about peace. It seems to be anyway. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, or don't be overly concerned or anxious for nothing, for nothing. Don't freak out about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's quite a picture there. You know, you have the picture of someone who's being tempted to be anxious, or upset, or frustrated, or whatever. It's that word, marimanao, or however you pronounce it. But instead of that, by prayer, So you have this mind picture, or I do anyway. When I read the word, I try to read it slowly. And you think of who, when, where, why, how, and you take time into consideration. This is a person who's being challenged in their brain to be frustrated, to be upset, to lose peace. But then he's fighting back because he's listening to the word, listening to what God says. Pray, supplicate, which means give specific requests. Be thankful. To be thankful, you got to be thankful to someone for something. I think Tony Hunt taught that. And, you know, speaking in tongues is rest to the soul, which is one of the benefits of speaking in tongues. So you get this mind picture of a person being challenged to being frustrated, to being upset, etc. And then, at least I do, and then you just take the time to pray and settle down, and you see this person change. And then the next verse says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." This person who could be any one of us at different points in our lives, where we're tempted to be upset or so on and so forth, takes the time to do these things, to pray, to supplicate, to speak in tongues, to be thankful. And then the peace of God, that peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall, and shall is an absolute word, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. It's an amazing thing what God's word says. What God's word says on how to deal with certain things is so simple. Our minds sometimes are really complex. We refute the reproof of the word sometimes when, in fact, the word of God is really simple. It might be at times a challenge to apply in our lives because of bad habits, but we can change if we want to. But we'll never change if we don't think we need to. Recognition of a need is the start to deliverance. And then the willingness to do whatever it would take to get that thing taken care of is the second thing. Like here, I don't know why, but I get the mind picture of just somebody frustrated or somebody overly concerned. Hi, Pam. And, you know, them taking the time to just pray. This world will make you think that you don't have time, that you're too busy. They push you. Well, push back with prayer, man. It wouldn't hurt you to take a day off of work and just pray. It wouldn't hurt you kids to take, you know, a couple weeks off from school and just pray and play. Play and pray works for me every day. Ask him, Nico. Colossians 1, verse 2. My kids had to be practically dead before my wife would let them not go to school. They were going to school. They throw up, they're going to school. They're throwing up in school. They're going to school. Here laughing. She was brutal. And you'd have to have your arm almost amputated before she'd let him go to a doctor. Drink water, go outside, and play. It's like, honey, you know, his arm might be broken. It worked. My kids walk a little funny now, but they're all right. Verse 2, oh gosh. At the second part it says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Chapter 3, which we read already, says in verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful." Well, we get the idea that the church epistles are all for this whole peace of God being extended towards us. We don't have a problem with that, do we? Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to close here in 2 Thessalonians 3, one of my favorite peace verses. It says in verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself, that's something, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. The Lord of peace himself give you, the believer, peace always by all means. The Lord be with you. Some people work a lifetime to promote peace or to find ways to make peace available to other people. Many people in this world are interested in acquiring peace and keeping it. And yet, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ made it available to all by way of Jesus Christ for people to have peace. We need to claim this peace and enjoy this peace, enjoy that undisturbed believing, enjoy the absence of all strife, enjoy the forgiveness that we've been forgiven. Just enjoy knowing that we have peace with God and that no matter what happens, if we stay our minds on Him, He will make sure that His perfect peace is manifested in us. So let's continue to work the Word in our minds to the extent that peace is manifested from our lives. So Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for the peace that you've given us. Thank you for the day you've given us today, Father, to enjoy, to be with one another. Pray for a wonderful day ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.